Hey guys, it's Colleen. I'm here with a quick note slash spoiler alert for you. In this episode, we talk about the TV show Big Little Lies. We originally mean to talk about it for about 8 minutes, but the discussion ends up going on for about a half an hour. I know, shocking. We talked about something for way longer than we intended to talk about it. If you have not finished the series yet, or you haven't seen it and are planning on watching it, here is your spoiler alert. You will hear it starts at about 17-ish minutes in, and it goes on for about 31 minutes until that 49 minute mark. If you have no plans on watching it, I urge you to listen to the discussion anyway, because we hit on a lot of interesting topics that actually aren't plot points, and I think that you'll enjoy them. On that note, thanks. Happy listening. Broadcast. Hello, and welcome to the broadcast, episode 37. My name is Colleen.
My name is Amanda.
And I'm Shandy.
And welcome to the show, everybody. We are recording a few days late this week, but hopefully this episode won't be affected release-wise. And that's because AT&T can suck a big fat dick.
How do you really feel about that, Colleen?
Yeah, well, seriously.
We have
I would give them a less enjoyable fate.
I don't know. I would argue that having to suck a big fat dick for a long time might not be that.
That's true. The jaw pain.
The jaw pain. All the jaw pain in their customer service department. Because of all the smoke they blow up your ass when they talk, and then don't deliver. It's been a week of me on the phone with AT&T's customer service.
Oh my God.
So we live our new house. There's only three houses on our street. It's like this little gravel road, which everybody will find out in a month when they're here for the podcast stuff. Oh, a month from now.
Ho-hoo.
Everybody will be here. So it's like this gravel dirt road and then splits off one way into our driveway, which is paved. And then it continues down and then there's splits off into two other neighbors' driveways. And the one neighbor was like, well, all the construction trucks and then your moving trucks really tore up the gravel. It looked fucking fine, but whatever. So we have to get new gravel put in. They came out on Tuesday to put the new gravel down, and AT&T, we have fiber. They were supposed to come and bury our fiber cable. And despite Jay calling them to come out a few times, they never buried it. So it got cut when they were putting like the gravel down. Yeah. And we had no internet for on Tuesday and Wednesday. And it sucked because, well, there was no internet and we cut cable, so and we're over on our data, so we had to up our data plan, and I had to read books. It was great.
I had to read books. Oh, so rough.
But anyways, so that's, you know, the hold up on our end. This is my second podcast of the night, so woohoo! I'm punchy.
Nice.
All right.
Anyway, good. It's weird recording this like later in the week because all of my notes that I wrote down, I wrote most of them down for Tuesday, like during the day before I came home and discovered there was no internet. So,
right,
we'll see how much, you know, how funny my Monday Tuesday experiences were. Yeah.
How much current you and past you agree?
Do they hold up 3 days later?
Do they hold up?
I guess we'll find out. Last night, I tried to go to bed early because we had no internet, and I had the worst dream, and I couldn't sleep all night.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
What was it?
I dreamed that there was a red rattlesnake in my house.
Oh, God, no.
And that it was, like, downstairs here, and I turned around to be like, Jay, there's a snake, and then like it disappeared in the wall somewhere. Now, even in my dream, there were no holes or anything in the wall, so I don't know exactly where this thing disappeared to, but you know, it was a dream.
It just morphed into the wall.
So I spent like the whole rest of the night in my dreams, and I think that I must have thought I was awake, but I wasn't, because I woke up like, okay, so the whole rest of the night in my dreams, I kept like every dream I'd be like staring at the floor, staring at the wall, like pep talking Zoe, like, it's okay, Zoe, don't get bit, just hiss at it and wake us up if it comes to kill us in our sleep. And then I woke up in the morning and was like, oh yeah, that was a dream, and like I haven't been really afraid. But I don't know, it was a rough night. You see these bags? I always have them, but I feel like I need to point them out tonight because I earned them last night.
Oh man.
Oh no. So wait, so did the dream like prevent you from sleeping well? Like, was it one of those?
I think it did. because I think, like, I kept feeling like I was waking up.
Right.
But I think I was waking up within my dream. Does that make sense?
Fair. Yeah.
Like, it was like
you had an inception experience.
Inception experience. I swear to God. Yeah. So anybody, only reason I'm telling this story is because if anybody out there knows, like, dream meetings, and you can tell me if dreaming about a red rattlesnake means in your house means, like, good fortune or something, please let me know. I would really, really love to hear that. It means something other than I'm scared of snakes and it came out in my dreams.
Right. Well, you could say, you know, the snake is like an ancient symbol of renewal and rebirth. So just go with that.
Sure.
And red is like a power color.
Yeah, there we go. It stood for new house.
Yeah.
But anyway.
New house.
Yeah. What's going on with you ladies?
Oh, God. What is going on with me? I can't remember.
Did you have nice weekends?
Oh, right. I went to New Jersey last weekend. One of my old college housemates, her son turned 1 year old this week. So he had a birthday over the weekend.
Aww.
So I went to my first 1 year old child's birthday party. It was really fun. Yeah, they, like, made their own ball pit. They, like, bought a whole bunch of balls on Amazon. That sounds really funny. A bunch of balls on Amazon. And they, like, set up, like, a pack and play area. And they, like, put all the balls and, like, so little kids could, like, kick them around.
Somewhere there's very early Married Men show listeners who are cracking up at that right now. Because one of the oldest from episode, like, 2 or 3 of the Married Man show was Dale Warm Taffy wanted to have a ball pit in his attic.
Why the attic?
For that's sexy a strange things.
Place for it. Yeah, but what I feel like attic. Here? Yeah, attic wood is not very.
I don't
like,
know.
Strong.
Okay, just go with it. Dale's a weirdo. So
sure.
Somewhere
ball pit in the attic.
Somewhere I think it was sexy thing purposes. I don't even remember. It was 11 years ago. Oh! As I realized last week. I have been podcasting for 10 years. I missed my 10-year anniversary.
Oh, my God.
It was in January.
Cheers.
Holler.
What is,
cheers.
What is the 10-year anniversary? What is that? That's not paper. Is that wood?
For Jay and Jack, it was fucking bobbleheads that I got them. I got them. Everybody chipped in and got them. It's over there. But,
yeah. It's saying, I think paper is for 1 year. Fifth is wood. 10th is tin.
Oh, that's stupid.
That's stupid. Yeah.
What are you crystal and at 15.
Okay. Wow, you jumped from tin to crystal?
Apparently. And then China, 20.
Was silver. Tin, was tin valuable 25. Back in the day? Is that why? Mm.
Anyway, happy anniversary to me 3 months
later. Yeah, happy anniversary to you.
I know.
That's awesome.
I couldn't believe that.
Impressive. Yeah.
I guess happy anniversary to John, too.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Because, you know, we started together.
Well, do you know the actual date of when you guys started Metrobus?
I feel like we recorded it on January 11th.
That sounds familiar. I feel like you did say you guys started it in January.
It was definitely – I'm going to have to ask John. Maybe it was January 8th. I bet you – I should know this, but I bet you, I'm ashamed that I don't. I'm gonna ask him. Regardless, it doesn't matter. We passed it, so that's not very interesting anymore. Yay.
Right.
Podcast 10-year anniversary.
Hooray.
Woo! Speaking of anniversary parties, we're having a cougar party on April 22nd here.
Yes.
And by here, I mean YouTube.
On the internet.
On the internet.
We're hosting it here at our internet house.
At our internet house.
Everyone is welcome.
And it's not April 22nd.
Just make sure you leave your shoes at the door. We're a shoe-free house.
And a bra-free house.
Like you, and a bra-free house. We just don't like you. Like, yeah.
Bra
actually, I'm
optional.
Gonna say, forget the bra. Like, cougars, let them hang, man.
Yeah. No. If we're having a cougar party, we need to have our tits up to here.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. Push-up bra is required.
Push-up bra is required. Like, you know, all the way up. I'm gonna dress the part. Guys, we gotta dress the part. So it's. Okay. I'm sorry. It's Tuesday, April 25th is going to be our cougar party. Bring your trashy drinks or just your drinks in general. Bring your push-up bras. What can the dudes bring? What do dudes bring?
Your leopard
bring?
Print clothing. Yeah. What do dudes
bring? Yeah, be dressed up as pool boys.
Yes. Yes, please.
Yes.
Or UPS guys.
or UPS guys. Yeah. Any sort of uniform will do.
I will send out links in places. And by places, I mean Facebook, Twitter, Patreon, all those fun things. So, yes. Awesome. Okay. I love us. I love it. It's going to be awesome. I'm really excited now. Anyway, Shandy fans, what's going on?
Not much. I was actually just looking through my text messages, trying to remember what I even did last weekend. And
you ran 100 miles.
Yeah, seriously.
No. I had a taper week last week and slash week this week. So I only ran like 8 miles. I went out during the day. That was fun.
Day drinking's the best.
Yes, it was great. And met some new friends that were happened to be sitting right next to us. So we'll see. I have their numbers. We'll see if we see each other again.
Ooh, and at the very least, you get them to be podcast listeners.
Yep.
I'll try. I don't know if they would be into, that's about it. And, I'm looking forward to next week because I have a couple of friends coming to town next week.
Man, you've hosted a lot of guests lately. That's cool.
Yes. Other podcasting friends, and actually they're in real life friends before they were podcasting friends. So
Paul and Atlas.
Yes.
Yay.
So they're coming on Wednesday just in time to watch the next episode of Survivor.
Like my heart is broken.
They came to visit 4 years ago and it was like at the same sort of point in time in April. And so recently I've had all of the pictures coming up in my couple years ago, this is what you're doing today thing on Facebook. And it's like all the pictures that we had together, and they're about to come down and visit again.
That's awesome. That's so great. Yeah.
I'm so jealous. It'll be fun. One of these days I'm gonna come visit you.
You guys are super, all of you are invited. It'll be really fun. We can go around and like do a little pilgrimage to all the places in Big Little Lies.
I was gonna say, can you do our own little Big Little Lies tour? Now that I have really 100%. Seen what Monterey looks like I am on board. Like I wanna go.
It's really pretty. Oh, and I guess we'll talk about this when we talk about Big Little Lies. But, the shots, like, in the credits and everything of them, like, driving over that bridge and all of that. Yeah. Like, that's where the marathon is. That's
where I know. At. You said it. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Gosh.
It's cool.
Yeah, I'm going to come visit you because I have you out there. I have Colky out there.
Yes.
So I'm going to get out there. And one of these days, Jay's going to have to go to, like, Google headquarters, and I'm going to just tag along. And
perfect.
Stay with Hulk, although he doesn't know it yet. Oh, I had something really embarrassing happen to me this week.
Okay.
I went back to Pure Bar for the first time since October on Friday.
Ugh, the worst.
Well, okay. So on Monday, I'm there and, we're all sitting on the floor waiting for it to start, stretching or whatever. And I'm sitting in like the middle row. Everybody sits kind of like staggered. And I always sit in the middle towards the corner. And this lady, this woman she turns around and she's kind of like looking at me like with an amused look on her face. Like she's like, kind of like laughing at me. So at first, like I thought like, okay, I had yogurt before I came here. Like, is there like crusty like yogurt on my face and it looks funny? There's like nothing on my face. So then I'm thinking, as the music's starting and we're warming up, which is like marching in place, I'm like, fuck, is she a podcast listener? Like, is she sitting there like watching me sit like crisscross applesauce style and she's like picturing me getting fisted or something? So that's the second thought that goes through my head where I'm like, oh my God, is this lady like listen to the show? Okay, so I can't figure it out. And I think that until we're like about 20 minutes in and I go like squat down or something and I'm wearing black yoga pants and I catch some pink out of the corner of my eye in the mirror and I realize that there's a hole in my fucking crotch and I'm wearing pink and purple underwear. So she must have seen that before I did, the way I was sitting. Must have been laughing like, oh my God, that girl has hot pink underwear on and her...
Imagining you getting fisted.
Imagine me getting fisted. It was so embarrassing. And then, like, the whole rest of the class, like, I'm stretching with, like, one arm down over my crotch, like, with the other arm up like this. Just,
you know.
And, like, you know, I'm doing everything. I'm, like, trying to adjust, like, to pull down the hole so, like, it goes, like, kind of more in between my legs in between. It was really distracting.
Are there a lot of dudes in that class, or is it mostly women?
It's all women.
Okay, well, that's at least...
No, dudes are invited. Yeah. It's not a woman's only thing, but...
It's primarily
attracts women. There's been men that have taken classes here and there, and they always get featured on the Instagram page, but it's few and far between. Every Valentine's Day, they have a class called Bring on the Men, where you're invited to take, like, a partner or friend that's a male to take a class, and Jay did it one time and won't go back.
Same.
Oh.
Squatting for an hour.
Amanda.
It's just squatting for an hour. It's terrible.
It's amazing. It's awesome. So that was the big thing that happened to me this week. I flashed an old lady. She wasn't even old. She was like probably like 5 years older than me. I was just so embarrassed that was in my head. And
hey, maybe she was like, oh, look at the color of that underwear.
But she was laughing at me.
Yeah. She's like, do you think I could ask her where she got it without that being weird?
Well, then I had to fart. And I couldn't do it because I was like, oh, my God, this lady. She's like, she's going to be like the smelly girl with the hole in her pants. I had to, like, leave the room to pretend like I had to pee. Yesterday's class went much better.
That was good.
That's good. Yeah. No holes.
No holes. Oh. No gas. It was great.
Nice.
All right. Oh. I'm going to let somebody else talk now. Because we have Big Little Lies.
Oh, my goodness.
Yay.
John thinks that I was right. January 11th sounds like it might be right.
Sweet.
Nice.
So Big Little Lies. Shall we just jump right in?
Yes. Oh, my God.
Dude.
Loved it.
Yeah. I feel like I should have rewatched it. Just so I'd be really prepared to talk. So,
I've been rewatching it with Jay, but we haven't gotten very far because we've had no internet, so it was only we could watch on Monday, which was two episodes. But it's great. And I know the book is supposedly a bit different. I started reading the book. I'm not going to really talk. I haven't gotten that far in it. So I'm going to – my goal is to read it before we record next Tuesday and talk about it real quick. But
jeez, how big is the book? That's not a lot of time to get through a book.
It's not a lot of time, but there's a weekend.
Okay. Yeah, and you're a fast reader.
I'm not. I'm a slow reader because I get distracted very easily.
Yeah.
So I don't know, but my boss is out on Monday and Tuesday, so I'm thinking I can hopefully make some headway with that.
Nice.
And she's in Panama, so she wouldn't. There's no even chance of her accidentally hearing this before she gets back. No, I'm gonna try to finish it. But okay. Oh my God, guys, great story. Let's set a timer for. What we want to say, starting 5 minutes. In 5 minutes, if we're still talking about it, we'll give people we have a big email about it. So let's say 8 minutes. I'm going to set a timer for 8 minutes right now. Hey, Siri. Set a timer for 8 minutes.
Okay, 8 minutes and counting.
All right, so skip ahead 8 minutes, guys, which means we can't fuck up and I have things to edit, so it makes it less than 8 minutes. But but at the 8 minute from here mark, we will put a disclaimer in, like a giant buzzer or something, and then we'll know. Okay, so big, good, go, great. What do you think? Oh my God, guys, it was really uncomfortable and really amazing and really like crazily uplifting at the same time at the end, because the ladies came together and they hated each other, and then they came together and they protected each other, and then they were BFFs, and like. A big hot guy with a big penis died. It was crazy. But he was also an abuser, so he deserved it. Did I cover everything? Maybe we didn't even need 8 minutes.
Yeah. And Monterey is really pretty.
Oh, Monterey
is very pretty. Yeah.
Okay, I'm not going to talk for... I got a timer on, so I'm going to let somebody else take the floor for a little while.
Yeah, I just love it when I get really emotionally invested in a show. Like, I was sitting there the whole last episode, like, really anxious, and I It's the only time in my life that I actually really like being anxious is when I'm really like enjoying a show and I'm really like on the edge of my seat to know what happens next. So I feel like a lot of times, and I'm sure we all do it, that like you just, I'm really good at picking the horse. Like I can just like pick where the plot is going. And that always kind of sucks when it's,
yeah,
it's sort of, you ruin it for yourself. So I sort of had a thought of what was going to happen.
So what,
and
did
I was
you,
wrong.
What did you think was going to happen?
Okay. I thought that Alexander Sarsgaard's character was the guy that raped Jane, and that she was going to realize it and she was going to shoot him. But I feel like I had something else in there too, because it was like really hyper specific what I thought was going to happen.
So you guessed, you kind of guessed right.
Right. And I had figured, I had guessed that like three or four episodes in. It was like right after she left San Luis Obispo. I'm like, I bet you it's Perry.
So why did you think that? Just because he was a violent character?
He was a violent character. The shape, like his sort of body shape, yeah. Like, and it just sounded like it'd be really interesting. And you know that like someone gets murdered and that's a good reason to kill somebody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So yeah, so that's what I thought. I love that I was pleasantly surprised. And I liked how they revealed that too, that I think a lot of times writers feel like they have to script every single thing. And I like sometimes where you have a big reveal is left just to an actor's talent.
Yeah.
And the fact that like no words were passed, it was just actors acting and you knew exactly what was happening. And you're like, ah, yes, that's why you cast these highbrow characters. Mm-hmm. Like for a lot of the series, I was like, okay, this is cool. This is interesting. But how did they get all these actors? This is kind of like soap opera-y. Like, I don't get it. And then it's like that scene at the end. I'm like, that's why all those women wanted to do this show. Ugh. For that alone. Mm-hmm. Like, that as an actor is so freaking cool.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I have
and just like
thinking about it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's the best I've seen Nicole Kidman
ever
act.
She yeah. used facial expressions and stuff.
Yeah, she's had a great year. Between Lion and this, she has had a great year.
I haven't seen Lion. She's really done a lot of...
Well, and it's like, that was a great performance because it was kind of on the opposite end of the spectrum where she kind of plays this, you know, like dowdy older mom. And it just showed that like how she can kind of do that and be great. And she can be this beautiful, hot, like smart, sexy woman and like be really great at that too.
I think she's put the name Celeste back on the map.
But I think that was also the hard thing for me is that like all the names were so like stupid and soap opera-y. And I think that I had a hard time getting into it. So I'm like, Celeste, what is she, a porn star? Come on with these names.
Madeline,
Amabella. Look, these are stupid
Amabella,
names.
Amabella, I know. Amabella was a little bit like.
And Renata.
Well, because here in the South, people have like weird names. Not weird names, but. I work with a woman named Shala. Her uncle gave her parents this suggestion for the name because it was named after a star in the sky.
Oh, that's
so great. It's unique. She's, you know, like I never meet other Shalas. We actually just hired a woman that's going to start working with us in 2 weeks, and her name is Gisa, and she said her parents just totally made it up. So, like the different name thing doesn't faze me as much, but Amabella, I was like, really? It's just one character off from Annabella. Come on now.
When it's that close, yeah.
Well, and it took me a few episodes to realize that that's what it was.
I don't think I ever realized it. I watched it on Close Captioning.
Emma Bella? Annabella? Like, what the freak is this kid's name?
I watched it on Close Captioning. So, let's see. Amabella. Name meaning. Okay, so it is Latin. It means beautiful, loving, and lovable.
That's the Bella part, but what's the Amma? Yeah.
That's it. Just says the name Amabella is a Latin baby name. In Latin, the meaning of the name Amabella is beautiful, loving, lovable. Well, it's Amma, amour. Oh. That's the loving part. Beautiful is the Bella.
Yeah, because I was going to say Amanda is beloved.
Yeah.
So that makes sense.
There you go.
Yeah, because I'm proficient in Latin, guys.
And to be fair, it's still better than my name, which literally means fucking girl.
That's really? Cute.
What? Yes, Colleen means girl in Irish.
Huh.
Or Gaelic.
Well,
Yes.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yes.
Well, my name is a beer with lemonade.
You win. So
true.
You win.
Yeah.
I'm really funny.
You are.
All right. Focusing.
Yeah. No, the series is great. Like I,
you guys will never know what I just cut out that we're laughing at.
Mystery of mysteries.
Anyway, Shandy. Yeah. Oh, Amanda. I'm sorry. What? So you guessed that he was the rapist. Did you guess anything else that was plot wise?
I don't think I did. I think that was the big one. Yeah. I'm trying to think. See, I was so much more prepared on Tuesday.
I'm sorry.
It's not your fault. Maybe it's not your fault. It's mine for not like refreshing and writing things down.
Did you guess who the kid was that was beating up the other kids?
I didn't. I know you had guessed. That was a good guess. Because once that came out, you're like, oh yeah, that's super logical.
I guess that I think like that's the only guess that I had. And it was like essentially after we first met Perry. And it was like, oh yeah, it's totally his kid that did that. But that's, I had no idea. Like, I didn't know who was going to die. I didn't know who was going to do it. I thought it'd be too obvious if it was, I can't remember any of their names. The young mother.
Jane.
Yeah.
See, I thought it was a little obvious if Jane did it too. But, you know, rape is a thing that's not good. So.
Yes.
Sorry. Wait, you thought it was obvious that Jane did what?
I thought it would be too obvious if the show had her, you know, they're showing her all of her anger and they're showing her with a gun. It would just be a little bit too like on the nose if she was also the.
Well, unless, see, I thought that it was going to be Ed as the rapist.
There's something about one scene about how he looked at his stepdaughter.
Yes,
that was and really that uncomfortable. I did not like.
Threw me off, and I see in hindsight.
But I also missed the SARS.
I don't know. Well, but
I knew it was coming, and I still missed
how
it.
You did it.
I don't know.
All right, hold on. We are up to 8 minutes. So buzz, buzz, buzz. I'm going to set an alarm for another 5 minutes. We haven't done the email yet. Hey Siri, set an alarm for 5 minutes. Oh, well, it was supposed to be a timer, but whatever.
that works too. Sure. Thanks, Siri, too.
The creepy Ed stuff, I don't know if that was intentional, but it definitely read like fucking creepy stepdad, stop looking at your daughter. Yeah.
I think it's
but then
we're
the
just
last...
not used to seeing Adam Scott with such a weird. Burly
man
here.
Yeah.
No, okay, so, it was more than that. It was uncomfortable.
Yeah, it was an uncomfortable scene, but in hindsight, especially seeing that he was very like fatherly to her in the last scene at the funeral,
right.
It kind of made me kind of put that, I guess, more in perspective that he's just sexually frustrated, and yeah, it was really fucking creepy the way that he was looking at her.
But yeah, he didn't act. That makes it worse.
But in hindsight, he didn't like act on it or anything. So my jury is kind of more out on him. Maybe more benefit of the doubt that he was just like lonely for a hot minute or two or whatever. Because you know,
and wanted to look at his stepdaughter creepily. Gross. No.
What was this? I don't really remember this scene.
There's a scene. It's like somewhere
maybe
like midway
4 or 5.
Yeah, it's like
it's
midway
before
through
the
series.
Moves out. Sorry.
Okay.
Yeah, it's before she moves out. It's like midway through the series. It's like the two of them home, and he's like looking at her. She's like out on the balcony or something. Mm-hmm. Which actually, can we talk about? None of them live in Monterey. Like, what the fuck?
Oh, it was beautiful.
Like all of those houses. Like every time that they're driving, that's like approximately 26.2 miles away from Monterey. Like that's not. But whatever.
Yeah.
It was beautiful. Like I understand why they did it, but it's just weird because. If you lived out in Big Sur, which not very many people do, pretty sure your kids wouldn't go to school in Monterey. To the apparently
private
wonderful
school at public school price.
Yep.
Yeah. But
Well, is that true? Yeah. Are there really good public schools in Monterey?
not having kids or like working in the
you wouldn't public know, school, yeah.
I have absolutely no idea. But I do. I mean, there is a like. I would assume more so like Carmel and Pebble Beach probably. Mm-hmm. Monterey is probably like average, and then it's interesting because right next door is like Seaside, which is significantly less affluent. Mm-hmm. So right. And it's like.
So is that where Jane lived?
Well, that's the other thing. Like, no, it doesn't look like Seaside at all. I'm not sure where exactly she lived. It maybe looked like a residential neighborhood, like maybe in Pacific Grove, which yeah. is like connected to Monterey. But like, that's another thing where, I mean, it's probably not worth like wasting the thoughts on this. But that house that she rents, like I know it's small and they make a big deal of it because it's just a one bedroom, but. To rent that house, she's got to be paying more than $2,000, like between $2,000 and $3,000 a month.
Wow.
And she works.
As a bookkeeper.
As a bookkeeper? Like, okay. Yeah. Sure.
Well, it's the same thing as like, yeah, when you watch shows and they show like New York City apartments and they're like living dirt poor and you're like, that's not a poor person's apartment.
Yeah. Right. So it was Hollywoodized.
Yeah.
Okay, so back to the plot here, before the alarm goes off again, and we have to tell people to keep skipping ahead. So my thoughts had been that it was going to be Ed, and Jane was gonna do it, and that was because I figured, okay, Jane's clearly the most likely person here to do it, from what we're seeing from what her past is, but what would be the biggest twist? Because there's got to be a twist here that's like nobody sees coming, that's shocking. And I thought that would be, you know, Mr. Nice Guy Ed would be the creeper, rapist. You know, that would be that. And, you know, maybe he didn't have a beard back then and he has the beard now. And that's, you know, it's tough to recognize him or whatever it is. And even though it did keep looking more like Skarsgård's profile, that the person shutting the door every time we saw it. But I thought, you know, Hollywood magic, like they could always just change it in retrospect or something. I did guess the kids because that to me just kind of triggered. Sorry, guys. If you're just another 5 minutes and then I swear we're done with this discussion until we get feedback on it and talk about it again next week. But you'll be caught up by then. So cool. All right. I'm not even going to ask Siri to do it. I'm just going to do it myself for another 6 minutes. So skip ahead six
more
minutes.
Keep in mind, we have an email too.
Yeah, we're going to do the email. We're going to get to the email in just 1 second. So 5 minutes. Okay. Bye. See ya in 5 minutes. We're the worst. Yeah. I don't know.
We prepared. We told people this is what we were talking about.
We did.
That's true.
To be fair,
so
yes.
Did you love how in the end it was Bonnie?
Yes, because it was surprising. I think it's a little uncomfortable that it's the only person of color in the cast.
See, so there's a more of a backstory of that, and I don't want to speak, you know, for that, whatever. But in the book, she was abused herself,
right?
And her father abused her mother, so she actually recognized. That's why she follows Perry out, and because she sees him in Celeste, and
the
then
body
She sees the body language of Celeste. She sees Perry's body language, and she kind of puts it together that something's not right because she recognized it in her own parents. And she figures out that the abuse is, you know, is an ongoing thing. And that's when, you know, she pushes him as he's gonna abuse what's her name. See, now I looked at it differently, though. And maybe, again, this is just from my ignorant perspective. But I thought, like, she was the hero of all the women. She's the one that put the end to it. Like, all the others, like, it was wonderful that they fought back without even thinking about it, but like she came in and was like, no, enough, and like just pushed him over. And I thought that made her the best character.
Yes, and there is that side to the argument, and I don't completely disagree, and I think it's cool that you have this like passive, peaceful character that is the one that ultimately does it. I think it's the most surprising, and I think also it's probably pretty clear that she did not intend on killing him. She just intended on disarming.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That, absolutely. Like, you know, you usually don't, you know, you think if you're shoving someone down a shallow flight of stairs that, like, they're going to get really hurt, but they're probably not going to get impaled.
Yes. Right. So how did he get impaled? Was there a gate?
I'm not certain. I'm not certain how he got impaled, but I'm like, is that a thing? Come on. home to his neck.
Yep, it was.
When you first see it, I'm like, I was like, oh, did somebody stab him like a vampire?
That's a true blood.
I was like, oh, God. I was like, how did this go down? I need to know.
Yes.
It was like he got stabbed.
Yes, it did. And I guess we'll never really know, but I really liked, and I guess I liked it for the element of surprise, and I liked that it was, and we only saw one kind of hint that she had secrets too, where she told Ed when he came to visit her, like, we all have challenges, things to overcome. But again, you wouldn't know that unless you read the book.
Right. No, that didn't feel like foreshadowing. It just felt like an honest statement. Sorry, and Shane, right. I'm stepping all over you.
I was just going to say, in retrospect, like, her reaction to, like, when everything goes down with her husband and his daughter and, like, her project and, like, how her husband freaks out about it and the computer and it, like, almost gets, it's not violent, but, like, very, that very volatile scene between them, and she freaks out. And then her daughter comes in and she, like, freaks out about that, which, again, I think that that's, like, probably a natural reaction that anyone would have, but then in retrospect, you'd be like, oh, right, because this is starting to feel like the kind of environment that she...
Yes. What did you think about that whole virginity project thing?
I kind of loved that because it's like, I mean, I feel the same as all the adults did in the series where, like, it's like her heart's in the right place. Yeah. Yeah, her heart's in the right place, but it's not a good idea at all. And it just also felt kind of very true to, like, a teenager acting out.
Yes. Part of me was like, in our ever connected world of, like, everyone will be famous for 15 seconds, 15 minutes of fame. Like, how had no one done that yet?
It did seem so plausible
that, like, a rich white girl would, like, come up with that idea as, like, a way to help a cause.
It's been a thing. I don't know if people have done it for, like, what was her, was she, like, the ACLU or the United Nations?
There was somebody that
Amnesty International or something. Yeah.
I believe that people have sold their virginity before, but I don't know if it's necessarily for, like, a worthy, selfless cause. But.
Right. Yeah. It just, like, felt like it rung true as, like, something that, like, a teenage girl growing up in our current social media.
Hey, look, at least she didn't make a Pepsi ad.
Oh, God. Do we? We're going to need a whole episode just to talk about that.
But we're not going to, because I think it goes without saying.
Yeah. So Stephen Colbert had a really great little shtick about that, so we'll let him do the talking.
Okay.
If you have not seen his monologue from yesterday about it, it was hysterical.
Okay.
Oh, I'll have to look it up.
So the alarm went off
by yesterday, I mean Wednesday.
Oh, yeah. Wednesday. So the alarm went off again. Let's read the email.
Yeah.
I'm sure we're going to have some talking points from that as well. Right.
That's true. Good point.
Yeah. All right. So this is from Rebecca. Hey, ladies. I hope I'm not sending this in too late, but I want to add my thoughts about Big Little Lies. Well, it looks like AT&T was on your side, Rebecca. I started watching the show because I was intrigued by the high caliber cast, but wow, I was not expecting to like it this much or view it as a feminist piece. When the show started and we got the flash forwards to the side characters talking about the murder, it was always in very petty terms, demeaning our core characters as selfish or annoying, and I felt for it. These women must be shallow and silly, obsessed with maintaining the image of their perfect lives, because that is what the story was initially presenting. However, as the episodes evolved, my view of this changed. Sure, they all had the momental of pettiness.
It's supposed to be monumental?
No, it's a moment. Sure, they all had a moment of pettiness and selfishness. Right. But so does everyone else. Sure, they wanted to maintain an image of having perfect lives, but partially because for some characters, coming to terms with their true situations was hard and, for Celeste, dangerous. We didn't talk about Celeste, and I really want to talk about that for a second when this is done. These characters were just people, and those demeaning them were too. Everyone was flawed and real. The ending was brilliant. There was true reconciliation between Jane and Celeste, with each realizing that they were acting out of fear for their children. When it was uncovered that it was one of Celeste's sons attacking Amabella, the women all looked at it as something to be solved with love and compassion. Forgiving someone and accepting that you have done something wrong was not easy to do, and we all fail at it. Women especially are often portrayed as bickering and fighting between each other. So to see them come together and understand each other at the end was really exciting to watch. I 100% agree. And this is all ignoring Perry's death. While all their husbands were off bickering with each other, it was the other women that defended Celeste. It was Bonnie who recognized that something was wrong between Celeste and Perry, while other people at the party, including those side characters from the flash forwards, either ignored it or were not observant enough to notice. It was a great study in character, and I looked forward to watching it again. I can't wait to hear your thoughts. Well, Rebecca outside Chicago, you just heard a lot more of our thoughts initially. 20 minutes of it. The Celeste thing, I do want to touch upon that real quick. I was uncomfortable watching.
And I think that was the point.
Had moments, too, especially after the therapy scenes. And by the way, that therapist should get, like, a Best Supporting Actor award or something.
I know.
Because she
beautifully
was
understated.
Oh, my God. She was so good. So great. Those therapy scenes, though, you could see, and this is credit to Skarsgård and Kidman, because you could see the struggle in both of them. And to the point where, you know, Perry was probably like, I would maybe equate it to an addict of some sort where I'm not going to do this again. And then you just like are like, fuck this, I lose control. And like he lost it like completely. And I'm sure he was off banging and raping and, you know, doing things with other women on his business trips. And he wasn't a very good guy. But you saw a lot of it from Celeste's point of view. And until like when Celeste decided that she couldn't stand him anymore, you couldn't stand him anymore. You know, that was like, that was kind of it. Like, I kind of took that journey with her.
Oh, I did not. I was like very, very much at the beginning. Like, the first little inclination was just like very uncomfortable. And then increasingly so from there. And actually, that was one of the things I remember having a conversation with a friend about at the very beginning of the show was like, it's disheartening to me that a show that's mostly about women would have all these themes of domestic violence and rape. But then, like, of course a show that's mostly about women would have these themes of domestic violence and rape, which is, like, in and of itself really depressing. And I was like, I hope that they're not going to use it in, like, sort of an exploitative manner. Yeah. And I thought it was an interesting look into the complexities of domestic violence. And I hope that it doesn't get misunderstood by people because, like you said, Colleen, like a lot of like we're seeing it through Celeste's point of view, and she is like a sort of like typical victim who, in the sense of like she's, you know, making excuses for him and like downplaying it, and essentially all the sex stuff gets portrayed, especially in the beginning, as if she's kind of into it too, but like really like she's being repeatedly raped and so and just trying to deal with it the best that she can.
But
essentially,
see, I was looking at it from like being so emotionally invested that like I took that ride with Celeste.
Mm-hmm. No, so, and I'm not like blaming you for that. I'm just saying
I never made excuses for him too. I still like, you know, when Celeste was like, he's trying. And I was like, he's not trying, but I get it. Like, he's trying, I guess. Like, I can see that, you know. And then I would stop watching and be like, no, he's not trying. But, like, it was just very, I don't know. I don't know what that says about me. Maybe I need to talk about
that. It was a really honest look at domestic abuse, you know. And I think so much of the time when we see domestic abuse on television, it's done through like the Lifetime original movie lens. So it's very over dramatic. And like, this was really real and it was really raw.
Yes.
And it was really like tempered and balanced. Like it built. And so that like, by the time it was really like too big to ignore, it's like, this is probably how that experience is for like a lot of people going through it, or a lot of bystanders watching it happen to someone else that they care about.
Right.
And it really showed, I think, like how it's so difficult to leave situations like that.
Right.
Yes, because you always go, well, why, you know, in real life, I would say there's a large faction of people out there that don't understand certain situations that other people don't go through because they haven't experienced it. And one of those things is domestic abuse, because you go, well, why don't you just leave? Why can't you just go? Like, clearly, I can see that this is wrong. You're like, no, my entire life is tied up with this person. Like, I don't know how to untangle it because, you know, I need to get myself straight. Like, there are definitely women who, you know, right away, first, whatever, are like, peace out, I'm fucking gone. But, you know, it's not that simple in reality for the majority of people. Right.
And I think it's also a testament to Alexander Sarsgaard's acting, because he made that character a fully realized human being.
Yes, where he wasn't just over the top,
like this asshole that just beat his wife and you just hated him. Like, he brought some real humanity to the character and like how he interacted with his children and like when he was being like quote unquote nice. Like, he made him a fully real, three dimensional human being.
Yeah, you saw his like abuser charm.
Yeah, and I loved in, you know, the way of like loved it. Like, I appreciated as a mom the fact that the second she really realized that it was affecting her children, that was like, she had the apartment but she was going to do it, but it was once she realized that was it, she was like, that's it, like, no, like,
that's a good point.
So I appreciated that, like, who knows if she would have really fully still gone through with it right away if it hadn't been for that.
But yeah, she might not have.
Yeah, so, I think it also, I mean, it does, like, again, like, we're just talking about how it shows, like, how it's, how, like, sort of what goes into people staying and stuff. And then I think you have to add on to this layer of, like, okay, well, they're all extremely wealthy. So, like, yeah, she could go find an apartment and rent a place and stock it with food, but, like, in a different socioeconomic level.
Yeah, you can't do that.
A lot of women can't do that, particularly if they are a stay-at-home mom and they're not working and they don't have their own disposable income. Because that was something that I was thinking about a lot. Like, when she was getting the apartment, it's like, does she have her own accounts? Like, how is she getting money?
Maybe
she's
got
to have family money.
Maybe she has family money, or maybe she has money left over from when she was an attorney, which I assume, I think she goes back to work in the book, too. Like, you know, I'm sure she could have easily found work again if she was as good as they say. So
yeah,
I don't
it's
know.
The controlling thing, and he made her quit her job for him. Yeah. Like, he cut her off from her friends for the most part. Like, he was definitely controlling the accounts. Also,
maybe it's in the book, and you know how she was able to pay for it. So anyway, if you have read it or watched the show and want to talk about it, please give us an email, thebroadcasters3@gmail.com, or send us an email, 331-BROADS3. That's 331-276-2373. We would really like to hear what everybody else has to say about this show, because we thought that it was awesome. And I'm hoping to finish the book by Tuesday. So if you're a book reader and want to email us in or correct us or answer any of these questions that we had, you know, that didn't translate from book to TV show, please let us know. And you guys are the best, because you always answer our calls for emails. So,
indeed.
Yay.
In spades.
Any last words before we go to Facey back? Because we totally spent a half an hour talking about this instead of 8 minutes.
I was like, oh, I do want to keep talking, but I feel like we need to leave some things unsaid and just move on.
Well, if there's anything else, we can certainly, I'm pouring more wine, we can certainly contribute, talk about it in the Facebook group.
Exactly.
So. Yeah, and or next time also.
And next time. I feel like there will be a part two to this conversation.
Yes. I hope so. I hope that people want to hear a part two. Mm. Okay.
Yeah.
So if you're just coming back, sorry.
You knew it wasn't going to be 8 minutes, guys. If you give me a wicked at yourselves. Y'all know how much we talk.
Yeah. 8 minutes of pleasure. All right, guys. I think it is time to bring some Facey back.
Yeah.
Woo! If you would like to give some Facey back, you can join the Facebook group. You can go to facebook.com/groups/JandJackGroup, or you can become a patron at the $5 or more level. More on that later. and join the patrons group, because that one is super fun. And I'm pretty sure that that is where this feedback was posted. This was dedicated to all those who have ever left a toy out by accident from JP. And it is a YouTube video of a kid that finds a dildo.
Not just any dildo. It's a big old dildo.
It's a Skarsgård dildo.
Yeah, he's waving it around, and
no, that didn't get any laughs.
It's hilarious.
It's a Skarsgård dildo. Get it?
I know. Okay. It's just like, now that I've seen the actual episode, and like the whole reason his penis was out in that moment was for like rapey, violent reasons.
Did you realize there's only been one scene ever where she wasn't raped, and even then she was like emotionally convinced to have sex with him?
When was that?
When they're laying in bed and he's like,
oh yeah.
Right. And then she, yeah.
So like guilted into it. And then Maggie says regarding me listening to S-Town, which holy fucking shit, we didn't talk about S-Town.
I haven't started it yet.
Listen to it. Shandy, you would
I have 20 miles to run on Saturday.
20 miles.
Okay, we're going to talk about
a lot of podcast time.
We're going to fucking talk about
S-Town. You can get through a lot of S-Town in that.
You could get town.
You'll get through.
Yeah. Each episode's an hour. It's so great. Yeah. Okay.
How many episodes are there?
Seven.
It's just like Big Little Lies. Okay. I'll get through like half of it on my run, and then I'll finish the rest of it during the week.
You're not going to be able to stop listening to it.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I bet you that's why our numbers have been down the last week. Everybody's listening to S-Town, which I condone.
That's true. I'm way behind in everything else I listen to.
Me too. Me too.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's better if you listen to them continuously. You enjoy the story better.
Yeah. Like, it's a binge story, and it's so great. Yeah. Okay. Everybody listen to S-Town out there. We're going to talk about this. Email us in for next Tuesday's episode. thebroadcasters3@gmail.com or the fucking phone number I gave out before, I'm going to give out later, that you should have in your phone anyway. But Maggie said, yay, I'm loving both S-Town and Big Little Lies. Tasia says, highly buzz Colleen should totally make more appearances. Nice episode. Ladies, highly buzz Colleen made a lot of appearances and appearances in early episodes.
She's cutting it back. Something different.
Oh, by the way, are you in New York for Easter, Amanda?
No. We're going back to Connecticut Saturday afternoon. Okay. I will be back for Saturday family dinner.
Cool. I'll be back for Mother's Day. Are you going to be there for Mother's Day? Around that weekend?
Yeah.
Okay, well, maybe we can straight chill there then.
That'll be like two weekends of fun.
Holla.
I'll go hang in your hood, and then you can come hang in my hood.
Holy crap! That's right! Ah! Okay. If Daniel can
stand
me.
The first time in a long time, that's, yeah.
Yeah.
You might be like, you might have had enough.
I had a lot.
Okay. Like, your friend Colleen is cool and all, but I don't know.
No, I don't even think he's going with she's cool and all. I think he's going to be like, that fucking chick is crazy. But you can call me a bitch, because I would actually appreciate that. That bitch is crazy. I would take that as a compliment.
He lives with me. He gets crazy.
Yeah, that's true. All right. So Rebecca says, almost done with the episode. I have to say, I definitely missed something in my Big Little Lies viewing. So did Amanda. I think
I did.
A Scars is very upset with you guys.
Sorry, buddy.
Danny said, Shandy, I have shit myself so many times while running. It's to the point where I've mapped out every public toilet on my running route.
Yep.
Vicky,
that's a thing.
Says, catching up on the podcast. It's nice to know I'm not the only one who crochets while podcasting. I've worked on scarves, baby blankets, and shawls while recording with the guys. Vicky does a podcast with Dan, who we photobomb called a few weeks ago, and Scott.
Dan.
It's called the Serious Drama TV Podcast. Check it out. Matt says, I recently read The Girls by Emma Klein about a woman who was looking back on her time in a Manson-esque cult. If you haven't read it, it could make a good first choice for the Broadcast Book Club.
Sounds good. Sounds
I think
twisted.
Big Little Lies should be the first. Okay, so Broadcast
That's
Book Club.
Mm-hmm.
I think that since reading is hard, time for reading is hard.
Yeah.
We, as many of us as possible, reads the book and then somebody reports back on it. So I'm going to start with Big Little Lies. And then if somebody wants to check out The Girls when they can.
Okay. I looked up...
Yes.
I looked up Big Little Lies at my library and placed a hold on a couple of different copies. but there are people in front of me, so I don't know. Unless I actually like buy it.
I got it for $8 at Target.
Oh, it's not bad.
Yeah, for what that's worth.
Yeah.
I'll think of it. I just really like, I really prefer getting books at the library, because then you, like, after, I love books, but like I just end up with too many.
I know.
So we'll see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, I've had this dream for my entire life to have a library like Belle and Beauty and the Beast. So that contributes to my like longing to just buy books all the time. That's why I will still not give in to the like electronic reader craze. I someday I'm going to have that library, so I have to make sure I have all the books.
That's fair. Yeah. I also find it's easier. I have a hard time reading on a screen, that like my mind wanders and my dyslexia kicks in hardcore. So it's like keep having the physical thing, page turning, helps keep me engaged.
Yeah.
I'm
cool. Anyway. I'm cool with both, but I just really like going to the library and checking out a book. It's like Christmas.
That's true.
This wonderful.
That's true. I do miss going to the library.
Get to visit when,
I used to do the same thing, and I totally agree. I just have, because now that I listen to so many podcasts, my reading time is way diminished. So I have a stack of books that I own I haven't read yet, and I'm like, I have to get through these before I can go to the library.
I have a 2-year backup on books. I have so many. I keep telling myself, like, when you buy your bookshelves and set up your reading nook in this house, you're going to read all the books. You're just going to sit there on the couch and read them. But then, like, I've had no internet for the past few days, and it's been a challenge.
I hear you.
But anyway, that said, before we move on to the rest of the feedback, we have a Trudeau report. So I have just sent you ladies the link to the slideshow, and I'm sure Dennis will post it in the patrons Facebook group. So if you want to be a patron, patreon.com/JaneJack. Well, let's get to it. All right. We have this week in Trudeau, ladies. Of course, you can't hear it.
On March 28th, it was announced that Justin
Trudeau. No, David, we are not ready.
Thank you, Colleen. And hello, Amanda and Shandy. I am David. Once again, there will be photos for you to follow along with. Colleen should have given you the link to the slideshow. I will say the word, next, at the most appropriate time for you to move to the next photo. The photos will be posted shortly in the patrons' Facebook group so patrons can follow along if they wish. Are we ready? On March 28th, it was announced that Justin Trudeau will participate in the Women in the World Summit in New York City on April 6th. The Prime Minister will take part in this event to continue to champion women's rights.
You just
next,
missed it!
And to emphasize the important role we all have to play to advance gender equality. Next. Women in the World participants include actress Scarlett Johansson and, next, the Honorable Hillary Rodham Clinton, next. Also on the 28th, next, Trudeau highlighted several proposed investments in Budget 2017 to support Parks Canada, help complete the Trans-Canada Trail, and protect our environment and cultural heritage. Next. Quote, these investments are about ensuring Canadians and their families have every opportunity to experience Canada's natural beauty and learn more about our country and its history. Next. As we celebrate Canada's 150th birthday, I encourage all Canadians to get out there and enjoy Canada's national parks, marine conservation areas, and historic sites, unquote. Next. Prime Minister Trudeau stopped in Winnipeg Wednesday to promote investments in the 2017 federal budget aimed at creating more childcare spaces. Next. On Thursday, the federal and provincial governments announced they are investing more than $200 million in a new engine program at Ford's Essex Engine Plant in Windsor, Ontario, as part of a $1 billion partnership with the company to create and maintain almost 800 jobs. Next. Ford workers formed a perimeter around Prime Minister Justin Trudeau as he announced the multi-million-dollar cash injection during a visit to the site Thursday. Next. Justin Trudeau announced on March 31st that the Government of Canada will invest more than $1.8 billion in the GO Transit Regional Express Rail project in the Greater Golden Horseshoe area, because the gridlock that results from traffic congestion costs Canada's economy billions of dollars in lost productivity every year. Next. Prime Minister Justin Trudeau got in on the April Fool's Day spirit with a lighthearted tweet aimed at former Friends star and classmate, Matthew Perry. In an appearance on Jimmy Kimmel's late-night talk show last month, Perry recounted his memory of beating Trudeau up when they were students. Next. On April 1st, Trudeau tweeted that he wouldn't mind revisiting the fight. Next, quote, "I've been giving it some thought, and you know what? Who hasn't wanted to punch Chandler? How about a rematch, Matthew Perry?" Unquote. Next. And on Sunday, Justin Trudeau and wife Sophie made a surprise visit to the Juno Awards to pay tribute to Leonard Cohen. And that does it for this episode of This Week in Trudeau. Au revoir.
Oh, man, nice. Guys.
Love it, love it.
So good.
Thoughts on the updated audio? I liked Dennis's like original voice.
I liked, Dennis's voice has a really fun, like, inviting NPR kind of sound.
Yes. That is exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But that was really fun, too.
David was fine, but I don't know. I think I liked Dennis better. That's no offense,
David. Is that his Sasha Fierce?
That might be Sasha Fierce.
Oh, man. All right. Well, thank you so much. That was a lot of fun. We've got a couple of emails and voicemails to wrap up the show. I guess I'm starting. Yes. We got the first one's from Michael. This is his TW number, which now that I actually have the TW number pulled up and ready to go, that's what she said. The TW list is fucked in an elevator, fucked with a vibrator, fucked in a bar, fucked in a car, fucked in a classroom, fucked in a bathroom, fucked with your mouth, fucked up your ass, fucked with your fist, had an orifice up to your wrist, fucked in a hot tub, had more than one person to rub. So there you go. I believe the highest number you can get is 12. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Yes. So Mike sent an email. He is 8. He is not. So I responded. I was like, well, what are they? Because, you know, everybody keeps giving their numbers but not telling us, which I guess is fair. He said, not up my ass, no bar or classroom.
I'm guessing he also is not doing the fisting. So that's actually.
Oh, and not with multiple partners. No, he didn't say no fisting.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
He said, all not right. up my ass, no bar, no classroom, and not with multiple ones to rub.
Okay, then he is an 8. Wow.
All right.
That leads us into our next email from Lindsay about Tidy Whiteys. This was my favorite email.
Your new favorite email of all time?
Probably of all time, yes. She says, hey ladies, I believe my number is either 7 or 8. I need your help with some clarification, though. Are the fisting ones the same, or is one where you're doing the fisting and the other where you're getting fisted?
I have always thought that that's what it was, and then that makes it very, you know, a little skewed.
I love it. Yeah, no, I think that that's fair. I think that that, I mean, because otherwise they are just totally synonymous.
Right, because right, fucked with your fist means you're giving the fist, but right, orifice up to your wrist means you're receiving it. But then again.
No, strike that, reverse it, isn't it?
No. Had an orifice up to your wrist,
So you'd be
up
the one.
Up to your wrist.
Up to your wrist.
Fucked
so your
with a fist.
Hand,
sorry.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, you're getting fist. Right, sorry.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's right. So maybe those should be considered. Maybe Tidy Whitey list should be 11 instead of 12. And the highest.
No, 12. Those two. No, those 12, are two different ones.
You're on one end or the other. You're on the
I
receiving
guess,
end or the giving
like,
end.
I don't think.
And both. And men and women can both do both. So.
Exactly.
I guess.
Yeah.
So do you mean a fist up the butt?
Theoretically. I don't know how comfortable it would be. But
is that what we're going with? Like, I'm legitimately asking.
It could be.
That's what we're going with. Yes.
How do you, which way, how do you, you got to go in on the side, right? you were going to punch. It wouldn't, you got to go like.
Amanda's doing visuals right now, guys, and you're never going to see this. Well, what if you like literally gave like a hand job like with your wrist? Then you've.
Then, yeah.
Does that count?
It's cheating. It's just
does
like,
not count.
Is this good for you? Is this good for you?
The wrist
not
weave.
That's not an orifice. Your wrist. It doesn't count.
Well, it's,
yeah, a wrist job doesn't count.
A wrist job?
Also just really weird.
Yeah. A wrist job really doesn't count for anything.
Yeah.
Anything. Yeah, it probably doesn't really do much.
It's probably not very effective.
Well, okay, so I think
nothing more than a hand could do, and probably more efficiently.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm very like what? Like,
well, I hope AT&T gets a whole lot of wrist jobs.
Wax on, wax off.
Oh man! Oh, no. Ooh, I'm sweating now.
Yeah. Oh, shall we move on?
Yeah, let's move on.
Okay, our next email is from Dave. It's another first-time email, and he says, "Hi, Amanda, Colleen, and Shandy. I am a couple of episodes behind on the broadcast, but I wanted to share the story of my first time. My girlfriend and I had been dating for around 5 months, and we were 20 years old. It was the first time for both of us. It started out with us taking a shower together. We got really into it and almost did the deed right then and there. But we didn't have protection, so we stopped in the nick of time. Very sensible. I then got dressed and ran to the nearby CVS. She stayed in the bedroom in a bathroom waiting for me. When I got back, she was lying on the futon ready. She had lit a couple candles on the floor to add to the mood. I got on the futon, immediately took my clothes off, and we did a little foreplay, and we were ready to go. I put on the condom, and she guided me inside her, and as soon as penetration occurred, she winced in pain, and I was saying, sorry, I don't think I can last, and within a minute, it was over. She cried because of the discomfort, and I felt awful. There was blood on the condom. We didn't really get to process all of that too much at all because we started to smell smoke. Turns out I had thrown my jeans right next to one of the candles.
No!
Although it didn't completely catch fire, thank goodness, it did start smoking. once the smoky jeans were taken care of, we did the deed two more times. Thankfully, those second and third times, it was pain and smoke-free. And unfortunately, because I was an inexperienced buffoon, it was also orgasm-free for my partner, Dave.
Oh, no.
Oh.
Oh, man.
Well, certainly memorable.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I have the next email. I kind of want to know, actually, has anybody, like, are there any females out there that did orgasm on the first time?
Lesbians.
Oh, that's true. Because, yeah, that makes sense.
There's actually really interesting statistics
really?
On the subject. Yeah, like straight women, how often they come during sex versus lesbian women, how often they come during sex. Right. And surprise, surprise, lesbians make sure to get their partners off a lot more than dudes do. So. Right,
yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. Anonymous Ken says, this is an anonymous masturbation story. Yay, we got a masturbation story. It was from a dude, but I'm super excited because it's a really good one.
Yeah, it's so good.
Hey, broads, just wanted to throw my first time masturbation story into the mix. To keep things slightly private, let's call me Anonymous Ken. I'm a guy, and I know you three were looking for more women's stories, but everyone has an awkward first time. I didn't completely figure out masturbation until I was about 16. Up until that point, I would feel aroused by porn or any sexualized imagery, like many horny teenage boys. One night, when my family was packing for vacation, I was at our computer in the living room. My dad was upstairs and my mom was in the basement. One of my friends had posted this video of Melanie Iglesias on Facebook, and I just happened upon it and started watching it. One thing leads to another, and I just start masturbating. Without ever truly trying it before, I eventually get the rhythm down and start stroking myself as the video continues. I begin to stroke faster and faster and faster and faster until eventually I ejaculate for the first time. I wonder what his thrust velocity was.
Faster and faster and faster.
Yeah.
Even though I'd taken numerous health classes in school, it never registered to me that coming would happen outside of intercourse. Needless to say, I started panicking when I see my situation. I have cum all over the bottom of my shirt and shorts with my parents within earshot of me. I quickly close the video and I try to figure out how to fix this. Suddenly, I hear my mom walking up the stairs and my dad coming down at the same time. I shoot up from the computer and try to fast walk up to my room, covering my shirt in hopes that they wouldn't see. Dude, I got some stretches for you if you don't want someone to see something in the crotch area. luckily, neither of them did, as most of the lights were off in the house. I rip my shirt off my shirt and shorts, give my parents some excuse to take a shower, giving me a reason to change clothes. Knowing I would surely have white stains. Dude, your parents totally knew what was going on at that point.
Yeah, I'm sure they did.
Teenage boy has to shower at an odd time during the day.
Yeah. Like, when Zach ever tells me he has to shower and it's like 5 in the afternoon, I'm like, dude, do you want to put your socks in the washing machine?
Amnesty.
Which will then probably effectively shame him into never masturbating again.
Oh, no!
I'm just kidding. Knowing that I surely have white stains on my shirt, I just shoved it in the back of my closet to avoid my mom seeing it when she did dirty laundry. Oh, so did Monica Lewinsky. I'm not shaming her. I'm just making a joke about cum stains. Months later, Shani, don't get mad at me. Oh, come on. I'll let it out if you want. It was just a joke about not understanding how cum stains work.
It's good.
Are we friends?
Well, of course.
No, that's it. Friendship's over.
All done.
Podcast is breaking up.
Okay, shoved them back in my closet to avoid my mom seeing it when she did laundry. Months later, I dig up the shirt, and sure enough, it was white and crusty, just the way I left it. Too bad, I like that shirt. Well, why didn't you fucking wash it?
Well, the podcast can't wait to hear more stories. Hand wash it in the sink.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
Although I wonder if a teenage boy would have the wherewithal.
Probably not.
A 16-year-old?
16-year-old boys probably don't do their own laundry. No offense, 16-year-olds out there.
I think it depends on, like, how the 16-year-old boy was raised. That, yes, I think some would, but I think there are also plenty of 16-year-old boys that do not have a clue. I feel like there are plenty of, like, 25-year-old men that don't have a clue.
That's true. Like, in my house, in my house, all the kids, men and boys and girls, I guess, since we were kids, like, we all started doing laundry, helping out with laundry when we were like 12. But I suppose there are those families where, like, the 25-year-old young man will still bring his laundry home to his parents, which is very strange to me, but I guess whatever.
Yeah. Anyway, moving right along. It's a great day for singing a song because it's a great day.
more first-time masturbation stories, please, from everybody now at this point, because that one totally paid off and was awesome.
Yeah. See, that wasn't so bad. Everyone else share their stories.
And I know that I did say I was more interested in stories by women, but I mean, this is totally proven me wrong. I want all the stories.
All, me too. All the stories.
Give us what you get. Our next email is from Mandy. Show recommendations. Hello, ladies. I asked the Married Men and Nick for show suggestions last week after the detour was so great. Hey, I think that's supposed to be they suggested.
Yeah.
Or maybe Jay suggested Big Little Lies, but I was ahead of him on that. Nick and Jack suggested Man in the High Castle, and I may start soon. Boston said Tickled. I want that hour and a half of my life back. What show suggestions do you ladies have for me and the other listeners?
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I actually want to check out Man in the High Castle as well because I've heard good things.
Man in the High Castle is really good. I'm only at the start of the first season. I really liked it so far.
Yeah, I've been watching Crashing on HBO.
Okay. How? Because I watched the first episode and was like, meh. But then my husband's been watching it. And he was like, oh, it's getting really good. And I was Sarah Silverman's on it, right? So that's.
Yeah, Sarah Silverman's in one episode. So essentially, it's Pete Holmes plays, I think, you know, as with most of these type of shows, he plays like a fantastical version of himself as a sort of struggling comedian who breaks up with his wife, who has been supporting him, and now he kind of has to make his way in the world without really making any real income because he's pursuing his dream of trying to be a stand-up comedian. And along the way, he meets all these different real comedians. So, yeah, like Sarah Silverman is on the show, and Artie Lang is on the show. But yeah, no, I've been really liking that. It's half hour, so it's really easy to get to. It's just like, if you just want something really light and like doesn't require too much thought, it's like a really sweet kind of heartwarming show. I feel like I'm going back and I'm rewatching a lot of stuff. I've been like slowly but surely rewatching Ally McBeal, which if you like,
I've never seen that show.
Yeah. If you liked Pretty Little Lies, it is also, yeah, it's also a David E. Kelly.
That's Michelle Pfeiffer's husband. Are they still married?
Right. Right. Yeah. I believe they're still married, but yeah, no, that show is great. And I think it holds up. I've loved going back and watching it because I remember watching it when I was like in high school with my mom, and like to see those characters now, they just seem so old to me. And now like to go back and watch the show as an adult. And in the first season, they're like 28. And it's as God. A 32-year-old, you're like, oh, God.
Yeah. I would suggest I think you already do, but if you haven't watched The Leftovers, I would suggest watching that, especially because April 16th, the next season premieres, and it's a really good show. The first season is super depressing, but it's good. Like, it's drink it with wine, but it's good. Yeah. But the second season is... it's amazing. I can't even like speak high enough about how great the second season is. So I would say check out The Leftovers. I think you do, though. I'm trying to think. I mean, all of my shows lately have been shows that are like longtime shows, like Bones, Blue Bloods, right. You know, all the shit right. I talk about all the time. I have started that National Treasure show. I'm only halfway through the first episode because, you know, I've had no internet for the last 2 days. But that was the thing that I started while Jay put Zach to bed on Monday, that I stopped watching when he came out so we could watch Big Little Lies. But I don't know. I liked the first 15 minutes that I saw of it. I'll let you know.
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, I've been watching the second season of Love on Netflix. That just came out. That show's really cute.
Listen to S-Town.
Yeah, just listen to S-Town.
Yeah, just do that.
I would say watch the movie Love.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what that is.
No, but going back to S-Town again, before we move on, because, you know, I'm obsessed. Amanda, would you recommend it to Shandy and Mandy?
Yes. Yes, I would.
It's in the queue.
Yeah, yeah, I would.
So Mandy already watches Survivor. I think, yeah, like, the shows that I watch are the ones we've talked about.
I'm so far behind on everything. Oh, if you're looking for, like, you know, a serial show, a drama show, whatever. So I love The Good Wife. I'm going to watch The Good Fight, which is a CBS... whatever their app is called, let's say.
Oh, right. It's like an online only.
So I'm going to start watching that so we can like talk about that and stuff on Facebook if you want. This is a horrible question. It's almost like they asked us a feminist question, and we were the married men and we just don't know how to answer.
I don't know. I feel like I've given some good examples.
We have. I just wanted to throw shade.
Yeah.
I think that everything that I watch is probably already on her radar. Like, I'm catching up on Girls. I just caught up, obviously, on Big Little Lies. I'm excited for Silicon Valley to start again.
Gotta catch up on that.
Oh, I love that show. So good.
Yeah, super funny. I'm excited, obviously, for Game of Thrones to start up again.
Oh, yes. She's caught up on that, too, though.
I mean, maybe a rewatch. I've been rewatching... I have lately been rewatching How I Met Your Mother, and I like really kind of hate it, but also can't stop watching it. It doesn't.
I know.
And that's why I can't stop watching it. It's like my TV comfort food, but at the same time, it's so like the misogyny runs deep. It's rather upsetting. It's hard to watch.
All right.
Okay. There's that. Oh, and also one thing that we talked about forever ago, that just got on my radar again for some reason. I can't remember what, but My So-Called Life. If you haven't ever watched that, you should watch
that.
I own the box set.
I have it from Shandy. Mandy. Yeah. Okay. You and me, Mandy, we're going to watch that together. So hit me up and we will watch it. And even if my internet goes again, it's a DVD so we can watch it. Yep. Oh my God. I fucking can't believe that. Yes.
I'll rewatch with you guys.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're going to do that.
Also, there's some wonderful things on PBS going on right now. although you've missed it, but I'm sure you could probably find it online at some point, the second season of Mercy Street. I have the DVDs at my sitting here on my coffee table. I'm hoping to watch that this weekend. The first season was really awesome. I think you can find it on Amazon Prime.
Okay.
It's about a Civil War, a Union hospital in the South during the Civil War.
Oh, I know what show this is. Okay.
Yes, and speaking of How I Met Your Mother, Josh Radnor, who is Ted Mosby, is one of the stars of it.
Yes.
Oh, weird.
What is interesting and what I didn't originally realize when I watched the first season is that it's historically accurate, that all the characters in the show are real people that actually worked at this, and this was a real hospital. Yeah, so that show's really great. There's a documentary series called American Epic that's coming out later this summer on PBS that is going back and sort of going through the history of recorded music. And I think like T-Bone Burnett and Jack White are some of the musicians that are involved with it. And they're sort of recreating how early music was recorded with like live with all the instruments in one space. And that's going to be pretty awesome. I'm trying to think what else is really, really good that's coming out. Call the Midwife if you're into British things.
Awesome.
Yeah, I think that's all I got.
Cool.
You know, support your local public television station. I want to have a job.
Keep Amanda in with a job.
Keep me employed. Keep me employed.
Yes. If you're not going to be a patron, watch
If you're
PBS.
Not going to be a patron of KBS.
There's our
president
news
wants
headline.
To steal our funding. Support your local public television station.
I think we have one more email and a voicemail.
Yes. So we got an email from Anonymous 68, and I'm just really wondering why this person did not go for the Anonymous 69.
Well, we did set the bar pretty high. If you were going to claim it, you had to really come with the goods.
That's right. All right. So 68 tells us, "Hello, broads. I wanted to share some thoughts for the woman who wrote in about her boyfriend taking a naked photo of her, which she then found out was part of a bigger collection. I have a pair of underwear from everyone I've dated. I didn't steal them or ask for them as a trophy like that creepy swinger guy. They were always given to me by my partner because she knew that was a turn on for me and she wanted to give me something sexy. Even though I'm no longer with these people, I still have them. Not so much for the spank bake purposes, but more so they're simply a nice reminder of a time when someone cared for you enough to give you this. I'm slightly concerned that the day could come when I'm dating someone new and she sees a red butterfly thong. Red butterfly thong? How old is this person? In one of my dresser drawers. But aside from that, I don't think holding on to them is a problem, and I'm assuming it's a similar mentality for the guy with the photo collection, especially since he wasn't hiding anything about it. If he's been open and honest with you and he seems like a good guy, I wouldn't worry about it too much. I also have a question for you three ladies this week. Since we've been hearing a litany of horror stories about everyone's first times over the past few shows, I thought I would ask you, when was the first time you had sex that you were finally went, oh, I get what all the fuss is about? How many times and or partners did it take to finally get to the point, and what was that whole experience like? Thanks, Anonymous 68. Wondering why it's not 69.
Hashtag, yeah, it's Anonymous. Hashtag, I don't really want a t-shirt from you.
You can keep the t-shirt.
Yeah.
I guess we didn't offer underwear, so.
Yeah. So I don't think, just to clarify the first paragraph, is I don't think that we said the guy was creepy. I think, you know, we were all kind of very grateful that he asked. Would have preferred that he had brought it up before they had sex, but gave a little bit of the benefit of the doubt that, like, you know, okay, we'll be okay with the fact that, you know, if it doesn't work out, you're part of this collection, but, you know, glad that he at least asked at some point, even if it was after the, you know, not in the time that, you know, we would have preferred. So I don't think that we were worried or anything like that.
Right. And I think that when number 68 is talking about the creepy swinger guy, I think he's referring back to that other email that we had about that person who like essentially wanted to steal them. So no, I agree with you. I don't think that we were saying that it was necessarily a problem, but I also think that it's very easy to say, oh, give him the benefit of the doubt. Seems like a good guy. Like, the thing is, you don't know this person, and they have a picture of your naked ass with cum on it. So,
yeah,
we don't know this person. So, you know, it's nice to say give him the benefit of the doubt, but like, you just don't know.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think easier said than done. But overall, we weren't saying that it was necessarily a problem. But if you're interested in something like that, you should discuss it earlier. Because it really does put the person on the spot when it's like, you don't have time to think about it and you're just in a compromising
position. No, because I have actually thought about it after I edited that episode. I kind of put myself in that place. And so like sometimes when I think about like different questions that we get, and you know, I think different ways, but here I was just like, I think I would have been like, especially after the fact, have been like, no, you got laid. That's enough. Ask me again. Ask me again. Like, to me, I totally get that, like, because when we talked about it the first time, but then, like, in retrospect, and again, maybe, you know, this is, like, a second time you get asked to get cummed on your ass kind of thing. Like, the first time, like, when we talked about it, I was like, yeah, you're right. Like, that's definitely a weird question. You feel pressured. But, like, in retrospect, I 100% think that I would have been like, what?
Well, exactly. And I would almost argue that, like, I mean, depending on how good the sex was, that you're almost more confident to say, no, I don't think I want to do that.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I mean, I think that this really illustrates the point that we were making the first time, is that this conversation should have happened before, because when we were presented with this question the first time, we were kind of like, oh, you'd be on the spot.
Yeah.
Now the second time around, we're like, oh, wait, I would have just said this. But it takes that second time around for you to be like, oh, yeah, like now we've thought it through. So, yeah, just... Yeah. Just talk about it first.
Yeah.
It's
not hard. And then if you really are a good guy, how about that? If you really are a good guy, you'll talk about it first.
Yeah.
And then it was, the second question was, or the question, when did you have sex where you finally got, when, oh, now I get what the fuss is all about. How many times or partners did it finally take to get to that point? And what was the whole experience like? Okay, I feel like this actually opens up another litany of amazing listener feedback that we could be getting. I will kick it off. Time that happened for me was Jay and I were in, so this was a few years after I was sexually active, but we went to California for something, and I won't give any more specific details, but, and there was.
Was it perhaps in San Diego?
No, it was not.
Oh.
It was not in San Diego. Well,
okay.
But there was a moment then, and that I was like, oh yeah, this is, you know, what it is good. So it's kind of more embarrassing now. And I'm like, oh, the person's going to listen to this and we could just have this conversation like one-on-one. So what, it took a couple of years, and I'm not saying like I was, you know, fucking banging people left and right before that. You know, I only had a few partners before Jay, maybe what, three, I think, Amanda.
I'm sorry. I didn't realize I was responsible for keeping score.
Why aren't you keeping score?
I was keeping a tally of how many people you've slept
with. It's so funny. 10 years later, I'm like having I forgot my first time, and Jay had to remind me a few weeks ago. Like,
yeah, I can barely remember my own number. I can't be held accountable for keeping track of someone else's.
I know. Oh, I remembered yours. God damn it. Not mine, just yours.
My first time, but you couldn't tell me how many partners I've had.
No, I could not tell you how many partners you had. Because it's, you know, not my business. Which clearly is not yours either.
Mine to know yours.
I'm numbers oriented, God. Goodness me. So was it,
anyway. Yeah, three? Sorry, I was not, I don't remember. I'm sorry, dear.
Three or four.
Let's go with four. Let's make you more experienced. You know,
I think it might have been
been around the block.
Let's go with four.
Been around the block.
I think it was three. But yeah. Sure. But yeah, no, I guess that's my answer.
I mean, I think the question is potentially asking like a couple of different things, but I will say I always got what it was about. Like, you know, there's never a time where I was like, oh, this sex thing is so stupid. You know, like,
yeah, yes, absolutely.
Even when it's not like the best sex you ever had, especially in the beginning, it's the only sex you ever had. So it's like still,
yes,
very exciting. There's like the desire, there's the buildup, there's everything that kind of goes into it. And so the actual, and this is, I think, where there's sometimes maybe a disconnect between, dare I say it, the way that some men see sex versus the way some women see sex, is like the penetration isn't the only thing. Like there's, you know, a lot more going on. So there was never a point where I was like, oh, this sex thing is totally overrated. It was more like, it's more like when you don't know what you don't know until you see something, until you know, until you've experienced something else, and then you know, and you can look back. But yeah, so there's never like a time.
But like, I get it. I didn't have a whole lot of partners before I got it, but like, you know, I do remember being like, oh, okay, you know, okay, this is cool, this feels okay. And it wasn't until I got somebody that, like, I guess I clicked more and that cared more about me.
Right. And I think that was the exact point I was going to bring up, because I think the first few partners, I wasn't necessarily going at it for the right reasons.
Yes, exactly.
And it was just sort of doing it to do it and to get the experience. And I think it took sort of being with someone that I had a real connection with.
Yeah.
That it started to be like, oh, okay, this can be more fun when you're actually comfortable with the person and you feel more open to try things and you're more receptive to just kind of explore other things. And yeah, I think, and that took me a few people and a few years to kind of figure that part out. Yeah. But yeah.
But I would love to hear listeners' stories, because, you know, we clearly love to always hear listeners' stories. So now you guys got a lot of assignments here. One, tidy whitey number. To reiterate, that is fucked. One, in an elevator. Two, with a vibrator. Three, in a bar. Four, in a car. Five, in a classroom. Six, in the bathroom. Seven, with your mouth. Eight, up your ass. Nine, with your wrist. 10, had an orifice up to your wrist. 11, in a hot tub. 12, had more than one person to rub. So that's your first assignment. Second assignment, first time stories. That needs no explanation. Third, first time masturbation stories. Also needs no explanation. See previous email. Four. Fuck, what was four? Hold on. What's the last email we just read? Yes. So, the first time that you realize, oh, now I get what the fuss is all about. Because, yeah, you know, that's fun. Okay.
Yes.
We have one more voicemail, and then we are going to all go the fuck to sleep because it is almost tomorrow. And this is from Maggie. And let's just get to it because, you know, Yay! We love Maggie.
Yay, Maggie.
Hello.
Hey, Amanda, Shandy, and Colleen. This is Maggie calling in. I actually have a book suggestion for Jane, written last week. Dan Savage had mentioned this book a little while ago, and I have it and haven't finished it, so I'm going to suggest it. So this is called Becoming Orgasmic, A Sexual and Personal Growth Program for Women by Julia Heinemann, H-E-I-M-A-N, and Joseph
Lopiccolo,
L-O-P-I-C-C-O-O-L-O. So I believe I got it on Amazon. I did just kind of look at the copyright, and it's like, it's not a recent book. But Dan Savage had mentioned it, so like I said, I listen to Dan Savage, and he has some good recommendations. So there you go. That's that. And I am going to be trying to check out OMG Yes at some point. So, okay, thanks, ladies. I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. This Aww. Is my little dance for OMG. Yes.
Yes. How was your OMG party last week, Shandy?
How's week one been?
I feel, first of all, to respond to Maggie.
I feel like that's a great thing to start with.
Yes. No, to respond to Maggie, Maggie is just like, we are kind of, like, we're just like meant to be friends. She calls in with a suggestion from Dan Savage, like, God. Just really sad that I'm not going to meet her. Is she going to Raleigh?
She's not this year. She's been to almost every single year. Okay. Maggie was kind enough to partner up with another friend, Sarah, and they co-threw me a baby shower a few years ago.
Aww. God.
I'm going to miss Maggie because I've also gotten shit-faced and thrown up thanks to Maggie at one of these things, too. So
a girl after my own heart. Yeah. I know.
I don't know. I'll next skip year. The throwing up part again, but well, Maggie's yes, always yeah. super fun, so.
Next year, but no, I'm going to check out that book also. But week one of OMG Yes, I have to say I'm a little bit sad to report that I've just been really fucking busy. And so I haven't explored it as much as I meant to, but I did give it to our Jane who wrote in as her birthday gift. And aww. I haven't really asked for a full report yet, but I'm going to be seeing her this weekend to celebrate her birthday. So I will ask if she's had a chance, you know, to check it out. I will say I was really, really excited because for some reason I had it in my head that this wasn't like friendly for smartphones. That it like I thought I read that on there.
Yeah, because you had said that like when you were explaining it that it was like that you had to be on a computer to do it, not a
digital
device.
I could have sworn that I read that on their website, but I just like went to the site on my phone and it's totally compatible with phones. Which I'm just like I spend more time on the phone than on the kind of computer that I would want to, you know, go to that kind of site on.
You mean your not work computer?
Yeah, like it was. I mean, it's like straight up pornographic, but it's so fucking amazing.
Just that's awesome.
Really amazing. $30. Everyone, go get it. It's
get it.
That's
it's
right.
$30 for the year.
$30 forever. It's like you're buying
forever.
So this is like season one or whatever, and I think they're gonna add content later, so you would have to buy that content. But there are like 12 different topics, and so it's like
I had a dream about this last night.
That's right. It's just amazing. Like I haven't explored fully every topic, but there's like I mentioned last week, there are, you know, a couple of videos of like people talking about whatever technique it is and what they do. And then they'll like show you like on themselves, like what they do. They'll like explain it and then show you. And then you go to these practice videos where this is also why it's better on a phone. Yeah. You're like using your finger to try to like imitate the movements.
I think that anybody that's ever been in a long distance relationship over Skype would tell you it's not easier on your phone.
No, like you actually like you manipulate it with your finger and then you get audio feedback of a voice telling you if that's what they actually like or not.
Oh, interesting.
It's insane.
So it's interactive.
Yes.
That's crazy.
Well, everyone should get it. It's $29.
That's really cool. That's really cool.
And I feel like, so when I first like was thinking about this, I was like, oh, like straight dudes would actually love the shit out of this. And part of me was like, oh, that feels kind of gross because they're going to use it in a pornographic way. Not that I'm against pornography, but this wasn't conceived to be pornography. Yeah. Then I was thinking about it. Like, actually, it's a teaching tool. All you, like, you're looking at somebody's, like, you're looking at a vagina is what you're looking at. Like, well, you're looking at, like, the outer part of you know, like, the labia and stuff. And that's what you're touching. So that's all you're confronted with. So it's, like, very female-centric. You have to, the whole thing is learning how to be a good partner. So either to yourself or to a partner. So I don't think it's a bad thing if men get the subscription because it's probably going to turn them on. But, like, they're going to, in the end, they're going to learn how to be better partners.
Cool.
So I think it's all good.
I dig.
Yeah.
On that note, in some housekeeping notes, we have a new show coming out on the Jane Jack Network. I'll start with that because why not? So The Leftovers comes back, and that's Jay Jack and Mike Bloom. The Leftovers comes back on April 16th, so I think look for that within a couple of days after that. They'll be back. But we're also doing a show, a Fargo podcast, and that is with Mike Bloom and Jeremiah Panhorst, a.k.a. Jeremiah Pornhub. So that should be super fun because those are two of my favorite podcasters, and I am super excited to have them over here and joining us. They'll be on the Whole Enchilada feed as well as their own feed, which will be set up soon. Again, we are having a cougar party on April 25th, so bring your push-up bras, bring your crappy fucking drinks, bring your UPS uniforms and pool boy uniforms.
We're going to have Kamal come be trashy with us.
Come on, Kamal, come be trashy. That's the theme. I'm super excited about that. A big thank you again to our patrons. If you would like to contribute, we at the Jane Jack Network, we love to, we're women. We're the only women on the network and we get equal pay. Well, we're not the only women. My mother-in-law, my sister-in-law do a show too. But we all like to say, you know, it's equal pay on Team J&J in honor of Equal Pay Day. So please help contribute to our equal pay. We make more as they get more patrons. I pay everybody, so don't worry, I make sure of that. There ain't no male-dominated sneakiness going on here. And if you want to do that, it's patreon.com/JaneJack for more information on the different levels. But you can go from $1 to like $1 million. $5 or more gets you an exclusive Facebook page, Patron Choice podcast every month. $15 or more gets you a cool Google Hangout, which is going to happen actually this Sunday. Let's see, Sunday, April 9th. That's going to be a thing. And I always send out messages every month to the patrons at each level to let them know what's going on. So please consider doing that too. That's patreon.com/JaneJack, or you can go to janejack.com. Go to the link on the top right hand corner of the website that takes you to the Patreon page. We understand everybody has certain budgets every month. So if you don't want to be a patron, understand that totally. You can go to you can go to our Amazon page. So you can go to janejack.com/Amazon. And when you shop there through that link, we get a certain amount of money each month and we spread that out amongst all the podcasters.
Truth.
Yeah. Because, you know, Shandy has taxes to pay for and Amanda has therapy to pay for. So
it's true.
Help
that shit's
us.
Expensive.
Help us, patrons. You're our only hope. We're Amazon shoppers. I don't know. Maybe help me buy some yoga pants without holes in the crotch.
Seriously, I hope you figure those out.
Actually, help everyone buy a membership or whatever
to OMG.
Yes. That's what I'm gonna say.
Maybe the anonymous 69, whoever writes in first person to be that, can either get a T-shirt. A broadcast T-shirt or an OMGS membership that we'll pay for.
Yes. Oh,
there you go.
Totally,
you can have your pick.
I will absolutely chip in for that.
Yeah, there we go. All right. On that note, ladies and everybody else listening, thank you so much for listening. We will be back in a few short days with probably nothing to talk about because we've used it all up now.
There's a weekend. There's a weekend there, a couple of articles, too.
There's a weekend, a couple of things. I don't know. Yep. But seriously, we need you guys to write in because we don't have a week in between recording this time. So we're going to heavily rely on your feedback. You can send all that stuff in to the broadcasters through. This is a safe space. So if you don't want your mom to know your first time masturbating, it's okay. She's not going to know. Or, you know, if you don't want your parents to know you lost your virginity on, like, their bedroom floor or something while your boyfriend drove his fucking bike over or whatever, it's okay. They're not going to know. But we want to know. So please let us know. So that's the broadcasters3@gmail.com, or you can put a call in 331-276-2373. That's 331-BROADS3. On that note, guys, my name's Colleen.
My name is Amanda.
I'm sorry, my name is Girl.
And I'm Beer.
Yeah, my name's Beloved.
This is Girl Beloved and Beer.
Beloved Girl Beer.
Beloved Girl Beer. We are
That's the title. That's the episode title.
Beloved Girl Beer podcasting team.
Just in the nick of time.
Oh, yes. Man. Because before this, it was 8 minutes of pleasure. Okay.
No, it's Beloved Girl Beer.
Beloved Girl Beer. Okay, I love it. Okay, good night, guys. I love you all. You're all my beloved beers.
Yay. Yay, girls.
Bye, guys.